CliffCentral.com. So whether you're a new trader who is looking for a safe place to start or an experienced trader who's looking for low spreads, that's you, Leanne. Multi-assets, high tech, you like hedging, you like shorting certain stocks. That's your thing, right?
Yes.
So then you will find, as will I, the novice, markets.com suits you perfectly.
That's where I go.
Special offer this morning. As per every time we do Markets Mondays, you could follow the link on cliffcentral.com to register with markets.com and you will get a 30% bonus on your deposit. That's very nice.
Bonus.
Who's giving you a bonus at this time of the year?
Bonus.
No one.
A long time ago.
So stocks and indices have done really well kicking off 2023 with reports and updates from big tech, mining companies, financial services, and retailers, to name just a few. There have been a few big winners this year already. As earnings season closes, Dylan Bester is here to join us and to unpack the top performers from Q1 and what traders should look out for in the markets moving forward. Hey, Dylan, nice to have you here, man. In person, he's here, sitting among us there. Yeah, good to have you here. Well, I mean, why join us online when you can actually be in the studio with us? Have you been offered some coffee or something?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. Just pull that microphone a bit closer. There we go. All right. So tell us about Q1. Call it earnings season. For some people, they've had a pretty good start to the year, believe it or not. Most people are like January. But but it hasn't been all that bad on the markets.
No, it certainly hasn't. I mean, overall, Q1 basically sums up 2022. So it brings 2022 to a close, and we have sort of an update from all the big companies. We specifically focus on the US because they're generally quite nice and up to date. So they report quarterly. So you can actually see the transaction, how the economy is faring in a real time basis. We struggle with that in South Africa because it's only yearly. So coming to a close, we've had basically lower earnings across the board. Analysts generally estimate these earnings lower, but a lot of the companies came in line. There's a few companies that have managed to surprise. These are generally your few techs. I'm not going to mention any names because there's about 4,000 companies that report over in the US.
But did you see that Bing, which is the Microsoft search engine,
Chat AI,
and then Google's one, what's it called, Bard or something. These two were basically vying for attention, and the stock price on one went up hugely. I think it was Microsoft. And on Google, it dropped. I mean, they wiped off like billions of dollars because of the bad performance of the search engine as compared with Microsoft. Yeah. It can happen in a minute, let alone quarters or annually.
Well, exactly. I mean, you've got this amazing new sort of hype word is your AI chatbot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's changed everything. And it technically is going to take over Google from a sort of search engine perspective. So
right.
That was also a threat to Google at that point. And then obviously the different comments and how people have analyzed this AI is sort of your new buzzword in the market. So that's one of your favorite.
You reckon AI will be able to do investments for us? People are already using it for that?
Yeah, they definitely are. I think the questions you ask and actually what you put across to it is what's actually the quality of your answer going to be.
Okay.
If you're asking it silly questions, you're going to get a silly answer. And what that AI is actually able to do at the moment, it can pick up the person that's asking it the question and actually tailor a question specifically to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost leaning in quite an opposite way now because they've had engineers develop these things.
Right.
And if you don't have an engineer's brain and you're not developing it, your quality of answer is going to change drastically.
And I suppose it learns from the person who's inputting these questions and answers.
Yeah.
So in other words, it begins to get smarter, but only about you.
Correct.
And if people are not participating in this process, which is why I think with ChatGPT, for example, they're encouraging as many people to go on and ask things as possible, so it gets better and better at answering them. But we digress.
But
tech is still a growing...
It slowed drastically last year. I mean, a lot of the... So
they fired a bunch of people too. They all had to lay off staff.
Laid off 10,000, right. 20,000 workers. So generally what's happened in the US in the last year is we've had to increase... Well, the US has increased interest rates to fight inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So the increase in interest rates obviously slows down the consumer at quite a drastic pace.
Right.
I mean, they moved the interest rates from 0 to 0.25 to like 4%, over 4.5% now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a 4,000% increase. It's just drastic on the consumer. You can't all of a sudden recover from that in a year. So the process we're going through now is you're trying to understand to what effect this interest rate has to go up by to slow down the consumer so that they can actually start normalizing the economy once again. the economy was running so hot and there was so much money in the system from COVID and the COVID loans that they applied in the States that it was just too much money chasing.
That's why we've got inflation now, right?
Correct. So inflation's hot and they're trying to slow that down. So we had a good January, as you pointed out. The markets moved quite nicely ahead of themselves, up 8% year to date. Since then, as of last week and Friday, we had new inflation numbers coming out, just pointing to the fact that actually inflation is still peaking its head. So inflation actually surprised again on the upside on Friday, and the markets have come off since then. So looking forward from here, the Federal Reserve, which designs the monetary policy in the States, need to actually try and get the inflation down to 2%. It's currently at 4.5 on this indicator. It's more than half. So it's not going to be happening in a year that this is going to come down and slow down. So this year, we need to try and figure out if the US is going to go into recession.
Okay.
And if we're actually going to not go into recession. And that has two very severe impacts on the overall market. The one scenario, if we don't go into a recession, is the market should do around 12% for the year. Now, take into account, we've done 8% already. So the upside for this year is only around 4%. Mm-hmm. So it's not massive, but you're obviously going to get it in quite a few sectors. And it's going to come in from specific companies. So to sum up earnings season, there's a couple companies that haven't done well. You've got your likes of your energy companies that haven't fared well, and they're going to still struggle over the next two quarters. All right. The next quarterly earnings results actually going to be where we can see what's going to happen for the year. So that will be our first quarter of 2023 reporting, and that will give us a good guidance for the year and whether the country is basically going to slip into recession or not. But there'll be telltale signs before that happens.
Well, I mean, one of the things I like about markets.com and Leanne, of course, being a professional on the markets as well, yeah. She knows this.
I think I know everything. I know a bit more about AI used in banking and insurance and those sorts of things because I work for a company in the UK that does that, an analytics company. But when it comes to stocks and markets here, I would have to do my research online. I'm no guidance.
Oh, no. I was being sarcastic because, I mean, I don't know anything either. But what I do know is that when the dollar goes up and the rand comes down, as has happened recently, this isn't necessarily the end of the world for people who are traders because a lot of people are trading in dollars. A lot of people are investing in the dollar or they're just buying in money markets dollars straight up. So there are ways to also hedge your bets there. How do you think that the US dollar is going to perform going forward? Because again, a lot of people said that was going to hit the wall with all the inflation.
Yeah, so I mean, the US last year has had quite a strong year. I mean, it's strengthened quite a bit. We're getting to a point now where does it continue to strengthen? And what the impact on this is that US companies that generate a lot of their revenue from around the globe, their revenue gets less and less as that dollar gets stronger. So it actually slows down the actual US companies themselves as well. So looking forward, I mean, the dollar is sort of an indication of their treasury market, how well it performs. And that's done, I mean, those treasury yields are at like 4.5%. So it's a very attractive investment at the moment. So you compare that to your equities. And this is also another conundrum we face in the financial world at the moment is your playoff between equities and bonds. Do you want to take the risk of buying into companies when you know they're going to be slowing? Would you go rather buy some safe bonds, paying you the same sort of premium, risk premium for
and can we just, while we're on the dollar, can we talk about dollar priced commodities?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing, you know, commodities are always also an area of some risk, but some people have made some incredible profits out of backing commodities. And we know South Africa is largely an economy based on commodities.
Yeah. I mean, we generally resource driven, so that's very good. And what happens when our companies locally, like our bigger miners, and you see the likes of the Rand weakening, as we saw from Friday's announcement, and these companies will generate more profits. A lot of their revenue is all generated offshore. So as the Rand weakens for them, profits are driven up through the roof.
Right.
The conundrum they face is that we've got other issues within South Africa, the ability to deliver and get these commodities sent offshore. We've had a lot of issues, as you know, with Transnet and strikes and so on. So that always impacts everything. So
we have?
All the time. Okay, so building on the answer to the previous thing and so much else of what we've discussed here in this little bit of a conversation about Q1, where do you think the markets are headed next? And what should traders be looking at as we head into the next quarter?
So the biggest focus, what's driving the markets at the moment, is whether we're going to go into recession in the States or not. And that indicator is basically going to come out in the next few months. But we need employment in the US to start slowing down. It's at its best. They're almost at full employment. They're at 3.4%.
Wow.
Which is mega good. And this is going to, this is a case. So if it stays as is, markets will generally sort of grind higher over the year. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy year, just from what we've come from, what the scenario we're dealing with at the moment. So in our world, we always want to look at the positives. You pointed this out this morning. And the positive I would focus on here is rather what to buy and what not to, what to stay away from.
Okay.
So you want to be buying your defensive companies. Your
By companies. The way, we are not giving you financial advice here. We're just telling you how Dylan sees the market.
I'll reiterate that. It's not financial advice.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're looking at a basket of sort of your defensive companies, your companies that have always been around and your companies that are very cash generative. And I give you examples like Estee Lauder, McDonald's, like mm-hmm. you pointed out. And these are companies that will fare quite well this year. Their growth's not going to be out of this world, but they're going to be consistent. So there's still going to be spend. People are still going to go do their general basic day-to-day shopping. Mm-hmm. And these companies are sort of your basket of stocks that you want to be holding if there is talks of a recession or us trying to navigate our way through.
So what we do here, food, you mentioned.
Yeah, okay, food, so your staples, so your Estee Lauders, your McDonald's.
Women are not going to stop buying makeup,
no,
in other words.
It's going to continue.
All it takes is one influencer to topple something like Estee Lauder, so be careful.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, women are not going to stop buying that stuff. You know,
it's your day-to-day things. That yeah. you
right. And what else would you say are defensive companies, even in a local context?
In South Africa, you look at like British American Tobacco.
Okay. Smokers can't help
smokers,
themselves.
Smokers, you can't, yeah. And your consumer discretion. So your day-to-day, some of your all retailers. Right. But look, South Africa is a completely different discussion to the US. We seem we lag quite a bit in terms of how the economic data impacts our stocks and companies. And that's why we focus on the US. I mean,
right.
It's just up to date. It's very efficient. So it's a good market to actually be involved in.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention also to stocks or securities in general that you think are particularly resistant to a tightening market. So where would you say people should look? I mean, you've answered this partly in your last question. But where, besides the US stock market, would you say that there are other places that you should be looking in an economy where things are maybe slowing down a little bit?
So from a slowing down perspective, I mean, the US is slowing down. So it's economy that's slowing down.
Absolutely.
One of the economies that are doing quite well and they've just come through sort of COVID is China. And China's just reopened now. So, and they're still vowing to spend a lot of money on the economy. And if you look at other Asian countries like Japan, they've just come out of they've had no inflation for the past 12 years. And only in the last year have they come out of that, which is inflationary, which is in general good for your stock market because you've got prices and goods going up and you have more people spending more money. So the Japan and some Asian countries have actually just come out of this. It's actually very positive.
So would you be looking at Japan?
Yeah, I certainly would. Specific stocks, I mean, and we talked about this earlier, some buzzwords like your AI. There's a couple of smaller companies in China that have been investing in AI for the last 5 to 6 years. They're actually very well versed in this already. I'm not going to mention any names. But there are, I mean, there's local ties to companies like that. You could probably, guess I will mention some names to make it a bit easier to explain. Locally, we got exposure to Tencent via Naspers.
Right.
And then there's also companies like Baidu. Baidu is probably one of your better, well-known AI companies over in China. And you've got JD.com. You've got quite a few bigger names. Alibaba, not in AI, but those are sort of your general US listed Chinese companies that should fare well over the next few years.
Well, I'm very happy that you came in this morning because it's always better to see people face to face. And I think most of us are quite tired of having to do things virtually. So it's always much, much nicer if you can actually see the person and kind of, have the experience of being in their company rather than just seeing them through a screen. So
yeah, that's all worn off. That novelty. Yeah.
But thank you, Dylan. Nice to actually meet you for the first time. I can't believe we've been doing this for a couple of months. We've had you on so many times.
First time we've met.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there we go. Markets Mondays brought to you by Markets.com. Remember to follow the link on CliffCentral.com to register with Markets.com. You will get a 30% bonus on your deposit, and you can follow them on all the social media. CliffCentral.com.